Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Let me get this straight. This distortion ring has completely immobilized us. We have no means of communication with the bridge or any other part of the ship. And no matter where any of us have tried to go, the bridge, engineering, Kes's quarters, we've all eventually ended up here, right back at deck six.
The bridge is on deck one, engineering is on deck 11. Deck six is halfway in between, right?
So
if we're being surrounded by this ring, maybe it's pushing us all to the center of the ship.
But it's not just that we're being led back here. I mean, rooms are in the wrong place. Is it possible that this distortion ring is somehow changing the layout of the ship?
Everybody got that?
And it's really cold outside.
It's really cold outside. My name is Kitty, and I think it's really cold outside. My name is Kitty, and I think it's really cold outside. It's really cold.
You got to press the button so we can record.
We're already recording.
I'm going to press the button once we've started the podcast.
Well, I'm waiting for us to start the fucking podcast.
Oh, shit.
I was waiting for all this evidence.
See, I think that Patrick doesn't start the podcast until he makes sure that I'm annoyed that we haven't started the podcast. No, because you were like, and now's when Dan says, I'm ready. And I hadn't said that yet, so you hadn't started. So now that I'm all worked up, now you start the podcast.
The podcast has started. The time is ticking.
I'm just saying you had
as per your request.
But you waited until I became exasperated.
That was
exasperated.
Not on purpose, if that was the case.
I think that
I don't know about that.
At minimum, there's some kind of subconscious intention there.
I would posit that there may be, for coincidental reasons or otherwise, there may be an overlap between the amount of time that makes me confident that you're done with your effing and jeffing and your pooping and peeing and your coughing and bluffing, and the time that you get aggravated that we haven't started the podcast.
Oh, this human is full of words.
Indeed, yes, but and they are good words.
What I'm putting out here is gold, and if you don't want to put that out to the world, that's on you,
Jesse. Would you say what he's putting out here is gold?
Well, generally, I would say that most, yes.
So Patrick's
is contributing gold content.
You should be starting the podcast the moment I sit at this table.
Oh.
All right. Well, that'll...
The moment I walk in the door, I am in the podcast mode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just waiting for you guys to stop effing and jeffing.
It's not cute for me to de-humblify myself, so I shall be humble.
I think the audience probably knows that. It takes a lot of warm-up, a lot of practice.
It takes a village.
There's a lot of stuff that goes on before...
What are you talking about?
Takes a village.
Before the podcast gets started.
Village.
We can make one. Let's make a village. Village, right here.
Make a village.
Right here, in this room. Make a village. Now, let's do it. I'm on board. You on board?
A village of three.
I don't know why Dan's getting all political all of a sudden.
Well, we...
Like, year 2003 political.
Let's incorporate as a village.
We just need to get past the weirdness of procreation among the three of us.
How's that going?
The weirdness or the technological... Well, I wouldn't necessarily say impossible.
Fantastical.
Genetic engineering. They could take our gametes and squish them together in some sort of clever way.
A zygote?
You guys are pretty smart. You can come up with something.
Did you ever see Junior starring Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
We'll do that.
All right. So welcome, everybody, to
some kind of Jurassic Park ship.
Welcome to the old It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Anybody here?
No.
Where am I?
That sums up the episode
pretty much. Well, yes, it does. Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Anybody here? Where am I?
I forgot about that. That there's a connection there between
But there doesn't have to be.
There doesn't have to be.
That was a game that
is.
We played 2 weeks ago, and we've declared that we're not playing that game anymore, but somehow we're still playing it.
Well, you declared
who said that?
You were the one who declared you weren't playing that game anymore.
And then I was the one that kept playing.
And you were the one that kept playing.
Okay, fair
enough. And just like before.
That's not surprising at all.
There's an easy test for that. So, welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Anybody here?
It is episode 311.
God, precisely.
Of that podcast. So thank you.
Yes, sir.
We're just out of control.
I know.
Boobada.
Week in, week out. It's
I know.
It's a bit of a thing.
We're dedicated.
Yeah, so this week we are going to be discussing Star Trek Voyager's Twisted.
Wait till you taste this cake.
It's from the second season.
It is from the second season, however, bit of a trivia, care of Memory Alpha. Is that this episode was originally written and I think even produced to be aired at the end or, you know, I think it was the second to last episode, the penultimate episode of the first season. But they shifted some things around. I forget the exact details, but I do recall that. So
I agree. It sounds completely illogical.
There were a few episodes from that were going to be in the first season that they moved into the second season for one reason or another. I'm sure there was an interesting story.
I wish I knew.
There. But yes, this is early... Early Voyager.
Yes.
For real, dude.
Let's keep it that way.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds cool.
So, we're going to have fun talking about this episode.
So far, we're right on schedule.
Yes. I think we're going to have fun talking about this episode.
I'm going to have fun.
We have a little bit
of
fun.
And you can't stop me. So.
But first, we have a couple of items to take care of. A couple of voicemails. But before the voicemails, I did want to apologize.
Uh-oh.
I wanted to apologize because last week, I noticed when
I must apologize.
When I was editing the podcast, I noticed that I said at one point, I said the phrase, so unique. So unique. And the problem there is that unique is one of those funny words where it means one of a kind. And you can't be very unique. You can't be so unique.
Right.
Now, I want to...
It's like a big coincidence.
I want to note that I understand language changes. And there's this is being super pedantic.
And there's different ways of being unique depending on how you categorize the subject.
But you have to be very careful when associating adjectives with unique because depending on how they modify unique, they may make the word no longer mean what it means.
Exactly.
Yeah, or somehow be incongruous with it. So
right.
I don't like saying very unique. I don't like saying so unique because it's like you're just like extra unique. It's like, I don't know. It's like saying like you should try 110%. Come on.
I guess you're right.
Sorry if we startled you.
Opinions may vary, but that's mine, and I did want to apologize for it.
It's okay, Patrick.
I wanted to be consistent.
It's okay. Okay. I forgive you. I don't know if Jesse does. Jesse has a history of getting super pissed off by this kind of shit. And once Jesse gets going, you cannot stop a motherfucker. Like, right there. Yeah. Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
Totally crazy. and now we have a voicemail number one.
Somebody's definitely trying to tell us something.
Yeah, indeed they are. What they've done is they've sent in a voicemail.
Yep.
So let's go ahead and play that.
Hello, Wingus, Dingus, and Fingus.
Hi.
It is Isaac from Trek 365 here, your friend in Tasmania, Australia. Look, I was compelled to ring in this week because of Dan's nap. Dan, it sounds like it was a really hard time, arduous time,
yeah.
Difficult to get over. And I know what that's like. Sometimes I have a nap and I wake up and I'm like, it's 1967. And other times I wake up and I'm like, wow, I'm ready to go. There's nothing in between. It's either, anyway, I could say that again. I was going to summarize it, but you probably don't need that because you understood it clearly the first time. I just tend to keep talking when there's no one there to interrupt me. Anyway, when you did wake up, I was wondering if you call it a wake-me-ups because they're on the rad. And then I thought if you do say that, you would probably feel a bit more positive about wake-me-ups after a nap because wake-me-ups on the rad, they're on the rad, already gets you in that kind of positive feeling. And you're like, I had a nap, I smashed it, and I'm ready to move on with my life. So next time you have a nap, just think about that when you wake up.
That's wise words.
Anyway, that's me telling you how to sleep. Have a good time. Looking forward to what this week's podcast is, guys. And go boldly.
Thanks, Agamemnon.
Wise words from down
under. Did he say it was 967?
No, he said 1967.
Oh, 1967. I missed the teen part.
I think he said 1967.
At first, I thought he was going to admonish me, like sort of jokingly admonish me, because he started with like, yeah, you slept. It must have been real hard on you to have all that time to sleep. Boy, life's rough for you, boy.
For context,
we don't sleep in Australia.
For context, for those who did not listen to last week's episode when we discussed Deep Space Nine's Second Sight,
yes,
Dan took a nap. He took one of them afternoon naps I've been hearing all about.
Yeah,
and
maybe we could make a map.
Take a nap.
Yeah, slept longer.
Maybe we could make a map.
Is it?
Maybe we could make a map.
Make a map? Oh, take a nap.
Maybe we could make a map.
All right.
Maybe we could make a map.
Yeah. Oh, a nap.
Oh, Harry Kim.
Very good, sir. Very good.
Maybe we could make a map.
Oh, you mean a nap, not a map.
Yeah. So that's nice how you're tying in last week's incident. Yeah. So yeah, he overslept a little bit. It delayed him somewhat.
I know.
So hey,
he was lamenting on the podcast.
There's nothing wrong with it.
No, it's fine. He was
sometimes
just a little,
you're tired.
He was harried.
You need it.
I was harried.
Yeah. Not Harry Kimmed.
No.
Oh.
Just harried.
Yeah.
I suppose that particular decision did put me in a position I am unaccustomed to.
Tuvok is the best Vulcan.
Yes, we've said this, and I will agree with you once again.
I think I wasn't trying.
I know that as I was saying it, I was like, this makes me sound like an asshole. But what I meant to say is that it's worth repeating.
Yeah, it is indeed worth repeating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of repeating, isn't there another voicemail?
There is another voicemail.
Oh, and Isaac was talking about, like, I don't want to repeat myself.
Ah.
But, like, that's something I would have done if I were in his shoes. I would have just said it a couple more times in different ways. Or the same way. To make sure that my brain knows that I actually said it. Because sometimes I say things and my brain doesn't accept that I've said them. So that's why I'm saying
it. Oh, yeah, I bet.
It's for me, not you guys. It's completely selfish.
I can tell.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Something very strange is going on.
Thank you, Isaac. Yes. We appreciate the sleep advice.
Yeah.
And everyone should listen to Isaac's podcast, Trek 365. Comes out every single day. He's doing it this whole year, for the whole year of 2025.
I will personally...
There's an episode every single day.
I will personally shed a tear for everyone that doesn't listen. Every person that doesn't listen will equal one tear from my eyes.
That's a lot.
You better drink some water.
So do you want to make me cry? Do you want me to be sad? Do you want me to be upset?
96 tears.
This is the type of marketing that might backfire.
See, you don't want me to be upset. You know why? Because...
Personally, I'd rather go down fighting.
And I'll take you with me.
A bit of a non sequitur, but I get where you're going with that.
No, it's not a non sequitur. You're always calling these things non sequiturs. They're not non sequiturs.
It was a bit of a
no,
bit,
was
a
it?
Bit of a non sequitur.
No,
he's trying
wasn't?
To shut you down.
I'm saying it didn't quite fit.
You don't
want
to make me sad because when I go down fighting, and I'm going to fuck you up with it.
God damn,
I mean,
dude.
I do believe the sentiment, for sure. All right,
I do believe the sentiment. That was no kind of response. That was like it's time to move on response. It's like, I'm done talking about this response.
Good heavens.
But I still have to get a word in.
I couldn't imagine what you're talking about. So,
I couldn't imagine. Don't even know.
Our next voicemail.
He was trying to communicate with us.
Yeah, he really is. Let's see if he can.
Hello to the fine proprietors of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Hi.
It is your good friend Jesse from the Open Pike Night podcast, and I have a couple of things that I want to touch on. I feel like it's been too long since I left you guys a voicemail. So, first up,
yes,
Trekkies is the name given to fans of Star Trek. So, what are fans of It's Got Star Trek called? Might I suggest Iggies? Or maybe Iggsters? Like IGST?
Oh, yeah. I came to that as soon as he said it.
I don't know. Talk amongst yourselves.
Gitsters.
But not yet, because I'm not done.
Oh, sorry.
I have been wanting to ask somebody about this because I have no frame of reference for it. So I know that you guys do or did dabble in a card game called Magic the Gathering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was recently announced that there will be a Star Trek expansion for that card game.
Ah.
A, are you guys still playing? B, are you excited about this Star Trek expansion? And C, additional thoughts. Anyways, gentlemen, keep up the good work. I will forever be an Iggster, and I can't wait to hear what you guys do with this episode.
Thanks, Agamemnon!
First of all, Jesse, at one point, you were all like, Gotters.
Godders.
Godders.
It's got it.
I like it's got. I like Igsters.
Wait, when he started when he started explaining what he meant by Igsters, when he's like, because IGS, I figured it out right as he started explaining it. So I figured it out before you explained it to me. Just
it's
so you know,
fuck yeah, Dan.
It's got
super,
Star Trek.
I'm super smart.
It's got Star Trek. IGST. Igster.
What is so? What does Jesse think of this
of
about?
What?
Sometimes people refer to Trekkies as Trekkers.
Ah.
Because I remember being in middle school and I watched
Trekkers
Star Trek.
That was like supposed a, that was to like be a like 90s thing. Nice
yeah, so I was in middle school and I was like talking about Star Trek and there's other a friend
who
I had
were you in middle
who is who likes Star Trek and I was like talking about Trekkies. He's like, "I'm not a Trekkie, I'm a Trekker." And he like made a big deal. Granted, this is like 7th grade.
Did
but
you
like,
kick him in the balls?
This is like 7th grade but like he was really adamant about how he wasn't a Trekkie, he was a Trekker, and I don't know if that's a thing. Yeah,
it was a '90s thing. I think that's largely died down. Or, you know, people accept both. I think.
Right.
You know, right. But in the '90s, I think people were trying to zhuzh up the thing, saying Trekkies was diminutive, maybe.
Igsters, Igsties. We're Igsties.
Sounds a little yeasty.
Well, I dig playing Magic, and like I still play it. Like when we have time, and there's just not like a ton of time anymore. But we totally still play it.
Yeah, I'm still
and
into Magic,
and I was not aware that there was a Star Trek Jinx.
Yeah, it's a newer thing.
I knew that there was. They did. They just recently
I don't know if
did
it's
like
out yet.
They did some Spider-Man shit.
Do you think Tarek knew that there was a new?
I was wondering. I was going to mention that our old friend Tarek, who's been a guest on the show a few times,
and
he
was
the one
and a champion Star Trek: The Next Generation trading card.
Yeah,
game
trading
player.
Card. Yeah, that's how he tricked us into trading card games. Is he first introduced us to the TNG trading card game, and then he was like, "If you like this, you got to check out this Magic: The Gathering."
Sure. Right.
That's
and it
sneaky.
Caused a what is. Still a lifelong addiction.
Wasn't Magic, though, like, before that there was something called, like, Spellfire or some shit?
Oh, that was concurrent.
That
was
I don't remember.
That was
some other thing.
That
I
was,
thought,
like, that was from the D&D people. They had a Spellfire.
I thought Spellfire came out first, but I really don't remember.
Well, for my money, for my, that's
I
a
thought,
term.
I always thought it was in response.
It's a colloquial term that I, what I mean to say is, in my opinion.
If I were to put dollars to donuts,
yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Maybe. I'm not a huge fan. I mean, okay, let me back up. I'm a fan of Star Trek card playing game concept. I think that's great. I'm even a fan of utilizing the Magic the Gathering mechanism to do something like that. I have not been, generally speaking, a fan of this branded, licensed Magic the Gathering, like they've done Lord of the Rings and a number of other things where I just, that doesn't appeal to me.
It's not jumping out.
Part of the charm of Magic was that while the decks or the different sets that came out and the expansion sets have had sort of different themes, right? There could be like a jungly theme or
an ice
theme.
It's got its own narrative.
They would have a narrative and a lore.
It's its own world.
But fundamentally, when you're playing Magic, you're just like, I've got access to all sorts of crazy fantasy shit. It's just some crazy fantasy shit.
Yeah, it's a multiverse.
It was sort of generic, and the genericness was part of the fun.
Now, you heard about the Lord of the Rings one, too. Now, are those meant to be played like in their own sort of like...
No, they haven't. It's integrated. You can't.
So you would be able
using
to...
Using those mechanics.
So you'd be able to use Data and Frodo in the same deck.
And Spider-Man.
Well, depending on how
Spider-Man,
you set it.
Really?
The thing is a lot of people will only permit the certain
things.
Oh,
a reasonable
things.
Spider-Man.
It depends on
yeah.
which
well,
style
yeah, the rules,
you're playing.
Yeah, the rules. Yeah, that's the other question. Is, are these legal in tournaments? Probably not. I don't know. Who knows?
I think they are. Is there official cards?
It's official.
That's what
well,
I'm not
but
so
some,
into.
But some decks aren't allowed.
Yeah, you're talking about like some of the goofy,
unhinged,
crazy ones.
There was
yeah,
like
unhinged.
Was,
yeah, but like, you know, like the tournaments are usually about new cards, so they're going to have like, you know, they probably will have tournaments with Spider-Man shit.
Stop playing games, Mashaki.
In general, it's just sort of like Star Trek is Star Trek, and Magic the Gathering is its own thing. And there are other card games too, which have their own flavor.
It's got to be weird. I guess that's going to be really trippy to see some Star Trek Magic cards.
I think if it excites people, that's great. If you're into it, that's good. Awesome. Whatever brings more joy into the world, I'm in favor.
Is it
going to
be
of.
Like green and blue and red?
That's the thing is, I don't know, and what I'm not. Fuck? I kind of am not that interested. I'll look at the pictures, but I'm not that into like again. I associate Magic the Gathering with some fantasy business.
Yeah, exactly.
Not
exactly.
Sci-fi.
Yeah,
right, not right, and right. And then. More like open.
It's dissonant.
Yeah. Yes. I would say discordant fantasy, where all these different elements are available in the recipe book. Lord of the Rings, I'm a huge fan of. I have a Lord of the Rings tattoo. I have a Star Trek tattoo, but neither of those things need to be.
Right.
And I granted, I don't have a Magic the Gathering tattoo because I'm not a fucking nerd.
Oh, don't be silly.
Do you have a Magic the Gathering t-shirt?
No, I do not.
I had some baby clothes that my baby used to wear.
See, that's awesome.
I want a t-shirt with just one card. Like,
but you gave them to me.
Do you think they have like t-shirts that just have one card like on it? You know, like the artwork from a card except blown up onto a shirt.
You could probably make
them. You could make that.
Yeah, you could make it, but I'm okay. But I'm just saying, like
it was like
I want to have like 60 t-shirts and wear a different one every day. You know what I'm saying? Like they have one.
I got you. You want to have a deck?
The baby clothes.
And it's like you wear a different shirt every day, and like one side is just the back of the card, but then the front side would be would be the actual just the artwork of a card with the text and everything.
That
just
would be cool.
Card blown up on projected onto your shirt.
You wiggle around on the ground and say like I'm tapping my bottom.
Tapping my
but
bottom.
But it was like proof that like my dad doesn't just tap magic cards or something.
Oh, that's right. It was it had a cute,
and there was another one that you gave me that it was like a 0-1 human or something. A 0-1 human token or something.
Oh yeah, there's some charming stuff online.
It was charming.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Jesse.
But so the answer is
Answer is I'm not super excited. I don't know about you guys.
What about you, Jesse?
Well, I'm interested to see what it is, but it's not. You don't need that shit.
Fine, Chakotay. Have it your way.
Was that a non sequitur too, Patrick?
I mean, I would argue indeed it was.
How is that even remotely a non sequitur?
I don't know how that's responsive to what Jesse said.
Because you guys were saying that, like, you're saying, well, I'm not interested in this thing. I'm not interested. So I was like, fine, have it your way. Like, I don't know.
I'm interested to see what it's like. I don't think I want to play with it.
Okay. Like I don't. It's like I'm having to explain how conversations work to you because they say Chakotay in it. Like it's part of a quote. You want to integrate the quote.
Chakotay.
You want to integrate the quote from the episode into the conversation. I'm not speaking directly, literally to Chakotay, but we're pretending for one moment that you guys are Chakotay. It makes perfect sense. Like. It doesn't have
I get what you're saying. Perhaps my discomfort is in the setup you have, which is through no fault of your own, because that is the line. You've clipped an audio clip.
And you can figure out what it means because it has a person who doesn't exist.
I get it. I'm saying, I'm trying to explain my immediate distaste for you playing that in that context, and maybe this caused me to be unnecessarily argumentative, but you just made me realize when with your description, indeed you did explain how conversations work, and it helped, because I think what I realize now is that the clip you played puts the audience, in this case me and Jesse, puts us in the role of Chakotay, and I don't want to be Chakotay.
Mm, you just.
I want to be Tuvok.
It's not that. It's not. It
made me uncomfortable to be like, why am I Chakotay in this conversation?
So you're not like.
I don't get it.
You're just like I don't want to be.
Play it again, Dan.
Play it again.
Well, I know that's not a quote in Casablanca. I know.
Fine, Chakotay, have it your way.
So you just pretend that Chakotay is you, or that you're, or pretend they didn't say Chakotay. Just pretend it said Jesse and Patrick.
I'll do that.
It doesn't have to be taken literally word for word.
No, you're right.
And in fact,
it does not.
And it adds some texture because it reminds you that you're still in the world of Star Trek.
Okay.
I mean, you know if it saying? Adds texture, that's what I'm about.
Because you're like, oh yeah, we're listening to a Star Trek quote.
Wow.
Except I get to be Chakotay. But you're like, I don't want to be Chakotay. That's the problem.
I don't want to be Chakotay.
But if it was like fine Jean-Luc
Chakotay.
If it said fine Jean-Luc Picard or fine William T. Riker, head your way, then you'd be like all about
it. Of course.
I'm all about it. Yeah. Especially the William Riker. But you talk about
I thought you'd like it.
You talk about texture, and I think Voyager was one of the best shows with regard to that texture that makes you feel Star Trek.
Are we getting in the episode?
Sort of, yeah. We're sort of slipping right in there.
Slipping it in, baby.
I always loved on Voyager when it would open with the big fat bellied Voyager sort of like cruising across the screen. Star Trek.
Fuck yeah.
I've always said that the Voyager is a big fat ship.
Yeah.
It's a fat ship.
Well, it's small but fat.
Yeah.
Round and
it's round.
It's got a big belly.
It just goes wherever it fucking wants.
Yeah.
Just going through space.
Let's do it.
Delta Quadrant.
Cruising around. Krisner.
No, I liked it. It was very exhilarating.
You can land it on a planet.
That is cool.
It's small enough to land on a planet.
What is interesting about this episode? How it opens up.
Oh, gross. Are you thinking of the line that I'm thinking of?
Probably. Well, I mean, there's a few things, but just first of all, in fact, yes, we're clearly thinking of the same line.
Happy birthday, my sweet.
Yes, Kes's birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Kes.
She's turning 2 years old.
If you ask me, you don't look a day over one.
No.
And their response is to laugh a lot.
That's no.
Here's the full laughter. I think it's this one. Hold on. Oh, no, that wasn't it. Sorry, that's this. Or no, that's not it. I don't even remember what that laughter
that
was.
That one sounded very uncomfortable.
I can't remember what that one was.
No.
Yeah, that was their laughter. This one goes on forever. I don't remember where this was from.
It's like they're laughing because they've been in the Delta Quadrant long enough. It's just maniacal laughter. Like, it's like your second birthday, boy.
Space creep and his two-year-old
space
girlfriend.
Space creep.
Imagine, 2 years old today. If you ask me, you don't look a day over one. Yeah. That's such a gross joke.
It is a very gross line.
It's gross enough that they laugh, but like we just said, the way they laugh is. But Jesse, you might be right. They just might be out of their mind. At this point,
right. It's like
that was disgusting. And oh my god!
They don't know what to do with this guy. He showed up on their ship.
I know, and so they're just having a mental breakdown.
We're Starfleet. We can't kill him.
It's like in the show.
I know.
It's like in the show when that person has so many bad things happen to them, and then finally their house blows up, and they start laughing because they're like, "What's so funny?" It's like, "My house blew up."
That's a perfect example of that. Perfect example of that is Tom Hanks in The Money Pit. Shelley Long when he falls through the floor on the carpet.
I knew a person that every time she saw him fall through the floor, she laughed, doubled over hysterically. Like she became she couldn't operate her body for like a good minute. Every time, and she was like, "You gotta watch this part." Yeah. And she'd pause it while he was there, and then she'd press play and he'd fall through and she'd start laughing hysterically. And she's like, "No, we gotta do it again." And she'd do it. It's like three or four times. And this was when we were in, I don't know, like we were like 20 or 21 years old. Huh. And like every time she
around September 11th.
Okay, that's not what I was going for, but thanks for bumming me out, man.
I'm just saying.
We're trying to deduce who this person is.
Within a year or so of September 11th, 2001.
Maybe she just really needed a good laugh.
Yeah.
Yes.
But no, I found that it was just funny that, like, I wish I had that power to make myself laugh on command like that, you know?
Yeah.
But it was funny.
It was.
It was funny.
So, Kes is 2 years old.
Yep.
We've discussed this before. Obviously, this whole situation with Kes has been discussed at length since Voyager came out. It is a little odd.
That is what you were going to talk about, right?
It was, yeah. Okay. Because
But they have separate quarters, right?
At this stage, actually,
I was confused about that because she was saying, "Yeah, these are my quarters." Yeah. She wasn't like our quarters, so why don't they? If they're in love, why aren't they living in the same?
I didn't even clock that. You're right.
Yeah,
I forget. I forget the order of the lore at this stage of the
order lore
of the show. I do know that they were getting aggravated with the Neelix's being jealous. And so they wrote the episode Parturition. Remember,
after this one.
Yeah. Although it was produced well after it, I think. Because I think they changed the order of things.
Right. Well, Paris was a total asshole with that gift.
I was, yeah. The Paris...
Even and if you watch him give her the, when you watch him give her the gift, like you see Janeway in the background going, like, ooh.
Yeah. So Paris, give, like, for the birth, he's all like, it's a birthday tradition. A human birthday tradition that we give you presents, and so I'm going to give you
for your second birthday
a fancy piece of jewelry in front of your partner, your romantic partner. I'm going to give this to you.
Right.
It's obviously a romantic gesture, and then he even says he used 2 weeks of replicator rations, which is
what you just didn't eat.
It's a personal sacrifice,
and that's meant to evoke the idea. A horrible idea, I think, but the idea that an engagement ring should cost at least 3 months' salary or whatever that thing is, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, by the way, made up by the ring people and the ring companies.
Yeah, right.
Don't get me started on
relax.
The ring interests.
Anyway, that was pretty wild because it's like, yeah, he's being overtly like kind of weird.
But Neelix had the last laugh because she put his picture in her locket in the end. Of course, what did he think that she was gonna put his, like, why did he give her a locket of all things?
I find it strange. It's that early, it's that, like, 90s Star Trek had some strange sexual politics.
Did he expect her to put his picture in her locket or were her own picture? No, I don't know what he. I don't know who he thought she would put the picture of, what picture he thought.
Disappeared.
I don't know what picture he thought she was going to put in there other than Neelix's. Yeah. And in which case,
good point.
In which case, why did he make a romantic gesture if he gave her something that allowed her to more easily carry around a picture of her boyfriend? Because she's not going to have a boyfriend and put a picture of some other dude in the block. I don't know. It's weird. It didn't make sense.
It is very strange.
It does not make sense.
And I didn't even catch a lot of that because
I agree. It sounds completely illogical.
I was just distracted by Kes is 2 years old. There's two candles on the fucking cake.
Oh,
so that really, like, really sticks it right up in your fucking face.
And what was that cake called?
Jabalian. It was a Jabalian.
Jabalian fuck cake.
It was
7 layers of Jabalian fudge, and the icing is made from pureed Glamaki nuts.
Glamatino. Extra sweet. Macabu bread, no crust.
So interestingly, Chakotea calls it.
That's the website you get scripts off of.
Yes.
Chakotea.net.
Yes. They call it, they call it Jibalian, Jibelian. And the closed captioning called it, I should have been more prepared for this.
How about this? You keep looking that up. I want you to hold it.
Oh, no.
Dan, because we do have to take a break. Shit.
That's break
when
talk.
When we get back from the break, Dan is going to tell us what Chakotea.net.
Oh, I already told you what Chakotea.net. I was going to say closed caption.
All right, he's going to tell us what closed caption. That's actually even more interesting.
Yeah.
Depending on which source you watched. Yeah. Where'd you watch it on?
I watched it on
Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
Okay, so when we get back, you're going to find out what did it say for the Jabalian
scribble cake.
Scribble snake.
We will be right back.
We're not going anywhere.
Apparently not. Apparently we're not fucking going on break. Because the sound was too goddamn long.
What?
Danny Longlip.
And we're back.
Surprise!
Did you enjoy your first surprise party, sweeting?
Oh, shit.
Sweeting?
Did you enjoy your first surprise party, sweeting?
Sweeting?
Party, sweeting, party, sweeting,
space creep,
sweeting,
party,
sweeting, party, sweeting, party, sweeting, party, sweeting, party, sweeting, party, sweeting, party, sweeting, party, sweeting, party, sweeting,
Tuvok, was it somebody said the word, somebody said phenomena. Did you have that? Where somebody said, was it Tuvok? Did he? Because I always like the term phenomenon.
Oh, wait.
Phenomenon.
Hold on a sec. It's, I think I have it here. It's,
Captain, we have encountered an unusual phenomenon.
Phenomenon.
All right, so what the audience at home doesn't
totally
know,
were, dude.
Dan and I are laughing at each other because we both had the exact same idea.
Phenomenon.
That's really great.
Phenomenon.
Phenomenon.
That's mine. Mine's in stereo.
The question is, what is a phenomenon?
Phenomenon.
The question is, who cares?
Phenomenon.
Mine's in stereo too.
Oh, good. Yeah, because it's music. I know, you know.
The music, the quotes, we've had this discussion before, but when you do a quote, not only does it make more sense to use the center channel because it minimizes ambient noise, but if you're hearing a quote out of
ambient,
if you're
hearing
Are you finished?
Dan, the look on Dan's face is not one of appreciation.
Just trying to explain something. This is how
and I was actually
two-minute conversations turned
really
into 10 minutes.
Rapt attention on my part.
So, because also when you're taking a context out of when you're taking a quote out of context, it is my opinion that you do not want stereo because stereo makes sense in context. It's like, oh, this person's talking to the right of me. Oh, this person's talking to the left of me. But you want it mono if it's just out of context, because there is no direction. There is no context at all.
You're talking about jokers and clowns. Jokers to the left of me, clowns to the right.
I'm not talking about that. That's a weird tangent. That's free association is what you just did there.
Probably technically applies.
I don't think it does.
But it was a really good one. It's a Reservoir Dogs reference by way of the
but
song.
No, that's kind of almost
from Reservoir Dogs.
That's nearly a non sequitur, because I'm simply saying that in context. Can you please just 1 second, please, Jesse? Just give me a second, please.
He has not yet been diagnosed with the attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Just please let me have a normal, like, regular conversation.
We believe one day he will be, but
without feeling like I have to like raise my blood pressure.
Okay,
which is partly my fault. You're not the one raising my blood pressure. I'm the one doing that to myself. But do me a favor and then help me take care of my body better by caressing me instead of striking me. In a conversation, you know, someone's talking and you hear them from over there. Someone else talking, you hear from over there. But if you have it in mono, you don't want to know what direction it's coming from, because it's not coming from a direction. Mm-hmm. It's just the word saying it. Like, what if I took this?
Thank you.
And it was in stereo, and she was to the right saying that. Mm-hmm. It would be coming from the right channel, and that wouldn't make any sense if, like, both you said something nice, and I was like,
thank you.
And it came out of the right channel for the listener. They'd be like, why is that only coming out of one ear? Why is she over there? They're right in the middle.
I think
right there.
It sounds
because
natural.
We're mono, essentially. I mean, you might record us in stereo or do whatever kind of magic you do, but in truthfully, we're basically what amounts to mono. You don't have you don't favor us on any channel.
Yeah, just ever so slightly.
Mono.
Ever so slightly.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
you
maybe
had mono that one.
So
time,
maybe this is an example of the devil's in the details, because you're saying that ever so slightly you put us in stereo, and even though you might not think you notice it, subconsciously you do notice it, is what you're saying.
I am, but not in defense of any position that's contrary to your own position.
No,
I agree with you, but I don't agree with you independently. I agree with you because you, as you noted, we have discussed this before on the mm-hmm. podcast, and you previously convinced me mm-hmm. using very similar arguments that you are absolutely correct.
I will stop reiterating the same argument.
It's fine.
But, I think I'm starting to worry about you.
Phenomenon.
Phenomenon.
Okay, so before we talk about Neelix's special birthday punch,
what are the chances we both had the same joke? That was something, wasn't it?
Well, I think it was a fairly obvious. Yeah.
I really think that you guys are great. By the way,
I think you're great too, Jesse. And Patrick,
now,
I think you're great.
Now we don't.
I think I'm great.
It's already five minutes into the next thing.
Great. Oh, we haven't talked about the
and Dan, you got to tell them what the caption said. We teased that.
The captions.
The captions. Hey, hey, buddy, what did the
captions say? Just do the captions. Yeah. So. In they spell it in Chakotay as Jibelian, Jibelian fudge.
Jib. So jib alien, like a jib sale. Like
that's
a,
what the
like
captions.
Yeah. Jib alien. Jibelian.
Jibelian.
Paramount Plus closed caption it spells it Jimbalian.
Jimbalian. That's got
to
be a mistake.
Weird.
And I double checked. And during the break, I double checked it, and just to make sure I didn't look at some craziness and dream it up. Like,
I want to get some other sources.
Nap.
If folks out there who access these through DVDs or
DVDs,
Blu-rays or some other, well, I guess they don't have Voyager Blu-rays, but maybe another streaming service, let us know, how does your closed captioning spell Jibelian?
7 layers of Jibelian fudge, and the icing is made from pureed lamaki nuts.
Now, that didn't look like 7 layers.
Yeah, you might not.
Like 4 or 5.
I think
you might not think it's important. The audience might not think it's important to know how Jibelian is spelled. But the thing is Star Trek's been around a long time, and we've argued all the major stuff. So it's good for us to argue these nip. This is not even nitpicky. These are micro tasty little bits. Micro trivia.
I mean, if we want to consider this a cap to the argument, I'm pretty sure that Memory Alpha spells it like Chakotaya does, Jib Alien.
I don't necessarily give Memory Alpha special...
Aren't they supposed to be canon, though?
Like, no, they get stuff wrong. It's
what
just
does that
people.
Even mean, though? Jib Alien? Is that a planet? Like
okay,
they have a special kind of cocoa plant?
I'm going to follow it up with this question. What is...
Makabu bread, no crust.
What is Makabu bread?
I know, right?
It's sort of like...
It
is
sounds
it like,
delicious.
Is it like rye bread or sourdough bread?
Is it like... I think it's like some kind of biscotti or something. Because you have it a biscotti? With, like, you have it with like your.
Oh, that's true. He Jake was dipping it,
but he said no crust. He said
Roctogino.
He said no crust though. So how are you going to decrust a biscotti?
Well, it's not. It's not. Maybe it's like a soft it's more biscotti. Like a. It's more like a biscotti analog. Like, you know,
serves the function.
Phenomenon. Phenomenon.
All right. So yeah. Birthday party.
What is going on, Lieutenant?
She never heard anything like that. Come on.
The lawn is on.
But I did think it sounded delightfully creepy and weird.
The lawn is on it.
It was super repetitive and fun. It made me think of Dan.
Are you talking about Jabalian fudge cake or phenomenon?
No, when the phenomenon just kept going, it was like, wow, wow, wow. That made me think of Dan-style aggressive audio playing.
Aggressive audio
you're
play.
Just like aggressively, you're like, you're gonna fucking listen to this shit.
Are you talking about what I was doing over the break?
No, I was talking about how every now and then you'll just sort of play all the sounds at once.
Oh,
I mean, in an artistic way, but in an aggressively artistic way.
Aggressively.
Aggressively. Yeah, see? See what I mean? Precisely.
Like that.
Precisely. This episode starts with a birthday. However, I'm really pleased, Jesse. This episode starts with a birthday. Kes's second birthday, which we already discussed as being weird. Some sort of weird special punch, which I don't know if there's Rohypnol in that or whatever. Space Rohypnol.
Space rubies.
Space rubies.
But you were talking about how there were two candles.
This is my special punch.
And space it was poppers. Creepy because she had two candles on the cake. It was also kind of creepy because she blew it out like a two-year-old. She was all spitting all over it.
Yeah.
She was like... But like, side note, it threw me off because when she blew out the candles, there were like candles in the background and there was a candle directly behind the lit birthday candle. So when she blows out one of the candles, it reveals another lit candle in the background.
Weird.
Yeah, if you rewatch it, threw me off. I was like, I thought she missed one. I was like, no, there's just another candle in the background.
The thing about this birthday party is...
It's my 111th birthday!
Is that, okay, we get to ruminate on
11/81st.
Kes being 2 years old for a bit, and that's weird and disturbing. They probably thought it was hilarious and funny.
Is it 111st? I think it's just 111th in the disc.
Didn't you say 111st?
I thought it was 111th.
I think in the books it's 111st, and maybe not in the movies. But anyway, that's Lord of the Rings talk. That's it's got
we were
Lord
talking
of the
about
Rings.
Magic earlier and Magic the Gathering and Lord of the Rings and
I'm into it. I'm totally into it.
And Star Trek.
Yeah. You got
I'm
it.
Mainly trying to
we're not off subject.
No, we're not, but I'm mainly trying to figure out exactly what we were talking about. Oh yeah. The birthday party. There's no like
Jesus Christ.
There's no thematic thing going on. Right?
Sorry, this is chaos right now.
It's fine. There
it's
the
okay. I'm not looking at you, Jesse. I'm just in general, there's chaos going on.
Just in general, it's sitting here across from here. In that general, like, Jesse-shaped blob of chaos. But the birthday party is just a birthday party. Mm-hmm. It does. There's no theme. There's no themes of birth or rebirth or anything.
Yeah.
I do have in my notes,
yeah,
I said it's quote-unquote, it's twisted that it's only Kes's second birthday.
Yeah.
But other than that, this is just a setting. It's a reason to get them on the holodeck in the French thing.
Oh,
which
that's
is,
right. It's in that other... That's already appeared a couple times.
Exactly. And they tried this on Voyager a few times where they were trying to have like a place to hang out.
Yeah,
And they kept having to...
It was one of Tom Paris's...
Exactly.
Creators.
Oh, wait, yeah. So
Tom Paris had this. He also had... There was that weird like beachside resort where you never see the beach.
Right. And
just
the
sort of,
Irish place.
Condos. Oh. Yeah, and then the Irish place, of course.
So why does the Enterprise get a 10 forward, but like Voyager doesn't get anything like
that?
Well,
they have
it's
the
a
mess
smaller
hall.
Boat.
Yeah, but they get a mess hall.
Yeah.
They don't get a 10 forward.
No.
It's smaller ship.
They tried to do everything in the holodeck.
They only have like 200 people in there.
That's probably, Patrick, in a few episodes back, you were wondering why Riker's birthday wasn't celebrated in a holodeck, and they did it in 10-4, and you were like, why didn't they do it in a holodeck? Yeah. And I was like, well, because it's 10-4, but now that we watch Voyager, it makes sense, because they did it in a holodeck, yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
I don't
it's a different
know.
Ship.
It's yeah. a different ship, I mean, different rules, different culture. Different culture. Culture wars. You know? I mean, Voyager and Enterprise. Did I say something bad?
Yeah.
No, it's just earlier you were sort of chastising me about free associating.
Oh.
And you ended up...
Well,
you went down the line to culture wars.
Well, I didn't start talking about, like, like cheese or whatever, you know.
Well, okay, that's true. That
that's
you
have, magma.
That's what not, culturing is involved with cheese, right?
Oh, God damn it.
God damn it. That would have been more of a free association.
Okay.
I've been imprisoned by my free associations.
Birthday party. Tom's aggressive thing, which the producers seem to think we're supposed to think Tom is totally cool and Neelix is being an asshole.
Yeah.
They're like, Tom, why is Neelix being so jealous?
Although Neelix was being a little bit of an asshole because he basically accused her of sleeping with like the rest of the crew. Yeah. It's like he's like, why do you know where their quarters
up.
Are?
Like, yeah.
He
what
is,
the
absolutely.
Fuck,
Neelix
dude.
Is a creep, but so is Tom Paris.
Yeah, no, Paris was definitely the... Neelix was fine. He wasn't.
Two space creeps.
Neelix wasn't being an asshole. Neelix was just being like really like sort of possessive, and which is an asshole thing to do. But I mean, he was being Neelix was just being really jealous, which sucks, and it makes someone turn into an asshole. But Paris was like should have known better.
Well, and the thing is, this is classic sort of male perspective where Neelix is jealous. He's angry at Paris, but he's like, okay, there's a man who's trying to get with my partner and break us up. So then he gets mad at his partner?
Yeah.
That's right. That's what's fucked up about it. It's like, why would you get mad at your...
That's regressive.
Pump. Yeah, you shouldn't get mad at your partner. And then, as Jesse noted, accusing her of, or at least certainly implying that, why does she know where somebody's quarter is? It's like, they're on a tiny little ship. Why wouldn't they know where people's quarters are, you know?
Yeah.
In fact, it was kind of odd that Neelix didn't seem super familiar.
They don't even have that many decks. It's like 11 decks or something.
Yeah. Anyway, at the first, he was trying to play it off. He's like,
who, me? Don't be silly.
Well, and partly that's because, and you can get hints of this, is he'd been talked to about this before by Kes. I forget the episode.
Yeah.
It's not too many episodes before this, though, I think. I can't remember quite. But Kes was already sort of getting aggravated, being like, you don't got to be jealous.
Right.
But yeah, still, but very 90s vibes about it.
Yeah. I mean, he started, and like, I mean, even when he was at the beginning of their conversation, when he was like talking about their
party? Sweeting?
When he was like,
what was your favorite part?
You know, when he started, like, how did you enjoy your party, sweeting? And then he's like,
what was your favorite part?
And you know, you kind of know from that part when he says, what was your favorite part? You kind of know that he's going to, like, move to that whole thing. And then he's, like, acting like he doesn't give a shit, but he totally does.
And so you're not going to play the clip from Shawshank Redemption where the guy is like, that's the best part.
Oh, shit. You know what? I was thinking.
You guys always go back to Shawshank Redemption.
I was thinking the other
Never
day.
Never go back to Shawshank.
I was thinking about a week or two ago about. Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
Yes, Dan.
It's like you pick the time right after I start my sentence to start doing this.
I gotta say, Dan, I'm on your side, like, on this one.
Like I literally, I'm like, okay, it's time for me to talk. Okay, good. And then I start, and then you start.
I mean, the timing is impeccable. That's a musician's interruption right there.
So I was about, it was like a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. I was thinking about that. I was thinking I should grab that sound from Shawshank Redemption. Where he's like, that's the best part. And like, I didn't, but it's funny you bring that up because that is one of my favorite lines from Shawshank. Yeah. And I didn't even make that association, so I'm surprised at myself.
No, but quite all right.
Whatever. All right. But then he's like, he starts getting all jealous about it. He was saying like. Sorry. I know.
No.
I'm trying not to say like so much. I'm gonna stop doing it now.
Neither one of us is a librarian, so it's fine.
He goes, "What was your favorite part?" And she's like, "Oh my." I said like again. And she goes, I'll just replace like with goes.
Okay.
She goes, all my friends were there. And he goes, that's nice. Don't forget the beautiful necklace. And then she's like, do you really like it? And he's like, why wouldn't I like it? You know, he's being very obviously like jealous. And he's like, don't be silly, you know. And then...
And by the way, this naivete on Kes's part, or at least it seems like she legitimately is like, oh, I'm confused. Did this weird you out that this handsome, young, non-creepy monster-looking fella gave me a comparatively relative to the situation we're in, valuable gift?
Yeah.
This guy's not going to get to watch a few Captain Proton movies because he used some energy rations?
He's not a space creep, but he's like done time and... New Zealand.
Which is hot.
Yeah, you, my dearest, stuff. Have seen the last of that green-eyed puss hog.
Puss hog? Fuck.
Puss hog, that was gross.
That's fighting words.
And so he starts like very obviously jealous, and then he ends very obviously jealous, and then it shows. But then later on, he actually starts being kind of like kind of dickish to her. Mm-hmm. He's
blaming her.
He starts blaming
somebody
her.
Else is attracted to her and acting frankly inappropriately.
Yeah, and when she says this can't be right, you know, and he's instead of believing her, he says perhaps your memory isn't what it used to be. And then later on, they're entering the scene when people are wandering around, and he goes, Kes, my sweet, you have many wonderful attributes. Your sense of direction is not one of them because, and then he gets interrupted. And I want to know, is that true that she has a poor sense of direction, or is he just assuming she's wrong and therefore made this assertion that she has bad directions based upon the fact that he doesn't believe her, or does he not believe her based upon some prior history?
I think he's a space misogynist.
Yeah, right.
He's just in addition to being a space creep, he's a space misogynist. These dames, they can't find their way nowhere.
Instead of assuming there's a crazy spatial anomaly, which
she can't even find her way out of her own purse.
I mean, there's spatial anomalies every
other. I never saw her with a purse.
There's spatial anomalies every other week, you know, and in fact, what was the, you were joking once, Patrick, about how in the past when somebody's acting a little out of character, instead of thinking that they might be sick or something like that, they assume there's some kind of space alien speaking over their brain or something like that.
Yeah, or they get obviously possessed by an alien. They're like, man, he's being such a fucking asshole
right,
now.
Right. They'd always get it wrong. But yeah, I would say he was, would you call that gaslighting when he says, starts telling her sense of direction is not one of her wonderful attributes?
There's a few sort of gaslighty incidents where Neelix is just telling Kes how it is.
He's not a good fellow, no.
No, he's really not.
Space creep.
Yeah, there are a lot of weirdos on
I don't know what
ship.
She sees in him.
Well, apparently not much. She breaks up with him later. When she turns like 3, she's like, Jesus.
Yeah.
What was I thinking? I was so young and stupid. I was groomed by this monster.
Sure 3.
Now I'm 3. I'm a big girl now.
To harp on it, but the thing, and because we've discussed this before, but the whole issue with the Kes being 2 thing, you know, somebody thought, hey, this is a funny sci-fi idea. We'll call it a sci-fi idea. These people mature really quickly. All of that's fine and plausible.
I don't think so.
But the problem is they don't have the opportunity or don't make the effort to actually explore that in any kind of interesting way. That would be an interesting thing, these differential lifespans. Because we've heard so many times about either sci-fi creatures or aliens or fantasy people who like live 300 years or 600 years or whatever. It's rare you go the other way. So I get it. That's like a fun idea to explore. They don't actually explore it. They just have her dating a middle-aged monster man, and it's weird. Yeah. And then, of course, it ends up not really necessarily going anywhere.
Yeah.
She loses her mind and disappears.
Ethan Phillips is fantastic, and he plays the character well because he plays him like a fucking creep. It's just always weird that the show is kind of like, oh yeah, this guy is great. I was like, I don't know. He has redeeming qualities, but mostly he's a creep.
Do you think Ronald D. Moore had the characters of Kes and Neelix in mind when he was creating the show, or do you think that was added?
Well, he didn't. He wasn't creating. He didn't. It was Braga.
But didn't Ronald D. Moore, wasn't it his idea to create?
No.
I thought you were saying that it was his idea to create Voyager and it was like all dark.
No, no. He actually worked on Voyager briefly after Deep Space Nine because he was friends with and writing partners with
Braga. I thought you said Voyager was supposed to be all dark at first.
Ron Moore, one of the things that annoyed him was he was trying to suggest that, like, not at the beginning of the show. He's like, okay, great idea. You have this show. Ship is lost. But the problem is they're not like compounding damage over time, right? Oh. And they have all these shuttlecrafts. Everything's fine. It's just turned into basically TNG, except they're far away. And so it's like this long march home, as opposed to the Year of Hell, which is where they kind of did a version of it where Voyager gets, in the Year of Hell two-parter, Voyager gets progressively more and more out of supplies and has to team up with other ships and form a little armada.
Right, and I'm not arguing with you on this point because I believe what you're saying. I just, for some reason, I was always under the impression that it was supposed to be dark at first and then it turned.
I think,
and when you look at Battlestar,
it was never going to be Battlestar Galactica dark, but I definitely think the idea at the beginning was like, that's where the drama will come in, as well as with the Maquis. Another thing that they started and abandoned, the idea was, we have the Maquis, they're a terrorist freedom fighting group and they're going to be at odds with the Starfleet people, and then once the Maquis are brought on board in Caretaker, then it's all, everything's fine.
Well, I was actually just about to mention Battlestar Galactica because that's Ron Moore, and that kind of has similarities to Voyager in a lot of respects, except it's so much darker that it seems very like a very different show.
Oh, yeah, agreed, 100%. He definitely was influenced by that when he did the way he thought Voyager should have gone, but I'm sure, you know, a few steps even past that because he had more latitude with that show.
Latitude goes up and down, north to south. That's latitude. latitude.
For real.
Left to east to west is longitude.
No, you've got it all backwards.
No, yeah, longitude is north to
right,
south.
That's right. That's
Latitude is the horizontal one. Right.
Yeah.
No, latitude is up and down.
No, because it was called the longitude problem, not the latitude problem. It was always easy to find the latitude. It was very difficult to find the longitude until you had accurate timepieces.
Right. Exactly. No. It's all about about the time measures.
Timepieces at sea.
Latitude, you can use the it's all astronomical.
Yeah. Exactly. Look up the longitude problem, folks. There's a lot of podcasts and videos about it. It is super fascinating.
Latitude is a measurement of distance north or south of the Earth's equator. It's what I just said, north or south.
Horizontal lines are the latitude.
That's what I meant. And latitude, when you add numbers to a latitude, you go north to south. That's what I meant.
Yeah, I got you. But you were saying north to south, which made it seem like you were saying latitude lines go north to south.
Oh, no, I meant like if you increase latitude, you go more north.
He thought you were talking about meridian.
This is like a classic Studio Ghibli film where there was no enemy. It was just a communications problem.
We're all friends
and
here, baby.
We just were miscommunicating
with each
other.
It wasn't silly enough to be a Three's Company episode. Because in Three's Company, it would have been silly.
This podcast episode is silly enough to be a Three's Company episode.
Every episode of Three's Company was based upon a very easy-to-solve misunderstanding.
Yeah. Jesse's Mr. Furley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The guy had some scarves.
And it's interesting, when you do coordinates, latitude and longitude, you say five, so it goes five up, and then five longitude to go five right or whatever.
And then you use like minutes and seconds.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
He's setting up a gag.
I'm not setting.
I'm going to shut up.
Either a trivia thing or a gag.
It's not a gag. It's not a trivia. It's just me trying to say something that takes 2 seconds.
All right.
And it makes it take forever. I feel like it's like 4 months ago.
What happened 4 months ago?
4 or 5 months ago when I was starting to feel this way. Yeah. And then it went away for a while, and now it's coming back. It
could be like a cycle, like the solar storm.
Because everything was going so great for a while, and now I'm this is happening again. It's fine. I'm not mad. I'm just like...
I want to hear the... Hear the tidbit with the five up, five down.
Okay, so when you do a regular coordinates... not coordinates... What's the plane mathematical... The other... plane, the XY plane.
Yeah.
Anyway, it goes XY. So you say five. So when you write it down, if you wrote 5 and 10, you would go 5 right and 10 mm-hmm. up. But if you do it on latitude and longitude, if you wrote 5, 10, you would go 5 up and 10 right.
Oh, word. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting?
That is indeed interesting.
See, it would have been much more worth the time if I could have said it in like the 10 seconds it took me, because this stretched it out and it made like the punchline, which wasn't a punchline, but it made the climax of the statement seem like a big old waste of time. Because then I was like, isn't that interesting, you guys? And you guys were like, yeah, Dan, that's really interesting.
I'm sincere.
I am sincere.
Isn't that you guys are really interested?
But I feel bad that I was mouthing.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I just feel like things have gotten off the rails, and I've ended up telling a very boring little.
Not at all. That was anecdote. That was a very good part of the story. I was totally rapt with.
And this, are you suggesting things have gotten a little twisted?
It's always good when you're having like a comedy, and kind of presentation, whatever it is we're doing, and then like one of the hosts has to be sort of, coddled and encouraged and being like, "No, Dan, you are very funny. That was very interesting."
one of the hosts.
This is a great show we're doing. It's like that Chris Farley SNL sketch where he was like interviewing celebrities, and all his questions were like, "Hey, Paul McCartney, you remember that time that you wrote that song?"
Right.
And Paul McCartney's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "That was awesome."
Remember Paul's dead?
Yeah. Right. And he kept going, "Stupid! I'm so bad." Anyway, so I'm doing it again. Okay, let's get back on the rails here.
All right, back on the rails.
Chris Farley.
Back on the rails.
Phenomenon.
All right, that's going to be painful to listen to later. But
So, Dan, because we are edging towards a break.
Don't say edging.
A little bit.
Edging towards a break. I wanted to learn, Dan, do we have any duties or no duties this week?
Oh, yeah.
We don't have one duty or no duty.
We got like five.
We don't have two.
Okay.
We don't have three.
Ah.
But we do have four.
All right. Four duty or no duties. Fuck. When we've got four duty or no duties, that warrants playing the old duty or no duty theme song.
I'm not joking, Lee.
We'll do that when we get back from
duty
the break.
Duty or no do that.
We're going to do that when we get back from the break. We are going to conclude our discussion of this episode when we get back from the break.
Hell yeah.
We're going to tell you which episode of which series of Star Trek we're going to talk about next week when we get back from the break.
From now on, even when we're separated, I want to have you where I can keep an eye on you.
I'm afraid there's no longer time for that. Computer Arch, move it.
We will continue to talk about how...
Wait a sec.
How
what?
Sexy... Sorry, I know. You played the break stuff and I messed it up because I technically didn't say we'll be right back.
I know you didn't, which is why I paused, but then you didn't say anything. So I was like, I guess he's not saying
this
it
this
time.
This is me. Don't worry, audience. Everything's going to be fine.
Oh, no.
Dan played the music at the right time.
You guys are silly.
We will be right back.
Oh.
Handsome man like you.
And we're back.
Hello? Hi.
Hi.
Maybe they were just trying to say hello. Maybe it was their only way of communicating with us.
I'm trying to contact my spirit guide.
Those were all contact-related
yes.
sound clips. At first I was like, is everyone saying hello? But no, it's more than that.
There are actually several things that begin with maybe. I'll play all the maybe sounds.
But this is not a list. This is just a collection of sounds related to each other sort of thematically.
Yeah, they all begin with the word maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. They were just trying to say hello. Maybe it was their only way of communicating with us.
Maybe this is one bear we can't wrestle to the ground. Maybe, like Tuvok says, there's nothing we can do but let it happen and hope for the best. Maybe we could make a map.
All the maybes.
Practical as always, Harry. I did want to interrogate that that line from Chakotay again about the bear.
Oh yeah.
Can you play that again?
I can play that again. I really wanted to while I'm pulling up the sound, I wanted to mention that Manamana is actually that was from the Muppet Show, but that's originally there's a different song by composer Piero Umiliani.
Really?
I'm not reading Wikipedia. I'm not. When I say I'm not, it means I am. But I actually knew that. I knew that I knew. I've heard the original. I didn't know who wrote it, but is Italian composer. So
word.
Anyway, so just so if anyone else out there is just like, actually, that's not really from the Muppets.
Word
like,
on
I'm
you,
telling
man.
You, I know that it's not from the Muppets. Okay, cool.
Maybe this is one bear we can't wrestle to the ground.
Yeah.
Apt, by the way. Apt. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was a funny quote from Chakotay because it was like. What does this imply about their previous relationship? Because like it doesn't sound that easy to wrestle a bear to the ground.
It doesn't sound like it's easy to do anything with a bear.
Yeah. No.
I guess it depends on the type of bear.
Right.
I thought it was some kind of sort of connection they were making with his like Native American spirituality.
I presume so.
Or not his true Native American spirituality, but what was suggested by their non-Native American quote unquote expert. Right.
It definitely feels like an example of this is a play on Native people fighting bears, I guess. I don't know. It's a little weird.
I'm trying to contact my spirit guide.
The clan of the cave bear.
All of that spirit guide stuff always... the Chakotay version made me uncomfortable. I don't know. Just a sort of a simplification and condensation of... multiple different cultures' variations on similar concepts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Freaky deaky.
Freaky deaky.
All right. Freaky. Did you want to do duty or no duty?
Sure.
All right. So we have to play the duty or no duty jingle because you've got four duty or no duties.
I do.
So, Jesse, you got to take this seriously.
I do. Yes. I do have a list.
Very serious.
I do have a list, but we might not have time.
Well, we'll do the list afterwards if we have time.
Hey, hey, every everybody, let's play a game. It's time to test your ears, it's never the same. Did they say duty or was it duty? Listen close now, don't get snooty.
Chief
duty
O'Brien!
Or no duty, that's the game for you. Are they serious or is it poo? Laugh it up, guess what's true? Duty or no duty, what will you do? To those ears,
we're going on, I forgot. One measure to or
duty
one.
Or no duty every time.
The ending's good, but that last chunk is not necessary.
Thank you.
Oh,
AI.
Yes.
The AI has a lot to learn.
Yeah.
It's freakily good in some ways, but it does have a lot to learn about what the dynamics are for proper radio show jingle.
Mm-hmm. Precisely.
All right, duty or no duty?
Number one.
And audience members, if you're not familiar with this game, you'll figure it out from the context. Yep. Just follow along.
All right.
May I remind you that your duty shift does not officially terminate for another 34 minutes. Your duty shift.
That was when Tuvok and Harry, well, really Harry had FOMO, fear of missing out.
Right, yeah. Right.
And Tuvok let him out of it.
And he almost made it out.
In his cute, clever way where he was like, I'm going to do it on my terms, yeah. But I want you to know that I got you, Harry. I'm helping you out here. Because didn't he tell him like he could go clean the holodeck juice or something?
Yeah, some kind of holodeck conducers or deducers or inducers or whatever.
The holodeck deducers.
Yeah,
Jesse, what do you think? Duty or no duty?
Your duty shift.
It's close, but I'm going to say no duty.
I'm also going to say no duty.
I'm all duty all the time, all the way.
you frequently are.
Yep, duty.
I bet, dude. You're full of duty.
Vulcans are enunciators.
Your duty shift.
See, I think you're being unfairly influenced by the fact that you know he's a Vulcan. If you didn't know he was a Vulcan, I think this is sort of
a specious stereotype is influencing my cognition.
That's
over
profound.
I mean, I believe it. I think that's a perfectly valid mechanism of action.
Dog.
Do you have another suggestion, Mr. Tuvok?
Sort of my built-in speciesism may be biasing how I'm interpreting the
I don't think
sounds.
So. I think Dan's just fucking with you.
I can't believe I'm hearing this from you.
All right, so Jesse and I say no duty because we think he's saying duty very clearly. Dan,
so
however,
if you hadn't figured it out by context,
we're saying
it's
he's
not
saying
super
duty.
Crisp, but he is saying.
And if you haven't figured it out by context yet, what we're playing, Patrick just explained it explicitly.
And honestly,
your duty shift.
The theme song explained it explained it pretty well as well.
Okay,
yeah, baby.
Number two,
engines are offline too. I'm looking for the captain to let her know what's going on.
Should I report to my duty station?
Might not be a bad idea.
To my duty station? To my duty station? To my duty station?
Okay, so here's the deal with this guy. This guy weirded me the fuck out. I think he's only...
Is it Tom Virtue?
He was only... Yes, Tom Virtue. He was in a couple episodes of Voyager.
He's in like an episode of every fucking show ever.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that shows up. But the thing is he really... Like, this character shows up, I'm like, this guy showed up out of like a 1981 sitcom. Like, where did he come from?
Exactly, yeah.
He's just like, I don't know.
That's what he does.
I'm just trying to find the cargo bay. The whole time he's like, I can't find the cargo bay.
He shows
bay.
Up so many times he's like suspicious.
Are
you in on some kind of joke or
is
something?
Is this the conspiracy? Is this an alien taking bodily form to be this weird guy?
Yeah. Right. And then, you remember this line?
I didn't notice it at first. I was working out so hard.
Yeah, exactly.
What were you doing?
He's like hitting on Harry Kim. He's like, oh, yeah. I mean, he's like, I was just like working out so fucking hard.
Harry Kim, do you like to fuck?
I mean, he was getting such a crazy pump going on. He didn't notice that it was 14 degrees Celsius because they said it was negative 10 degrees in there. 14 degrees Celsius. And he didn't notice because
I was working out so hard.
I actually rewound that a couple times. Not because I misunderstood it or wanted to double check. I was like, that's just fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
What a weird line.
Yeah, that guy was weird. It was weird how he was so weirdly prominent, but at the same time, it was like forgettable, but then you'd see him and be like, oh yeah, why is this guy keep popping up?
But this guy's been in other episodes, right?
This is like a bottle
episode, but there's guest stars, but they're sort of like bottle guest stars.
Yeah, this character I think was in one other episode of Voyager as this character, and then the actor played another, like in seventh season.
And the other holodeck characters have been in other episodes.
Yeah, I think so.
Did you notice
some of them, yeah.
The dude and the
pool dude.
Yeah.
The pool dude. Oh, that guy was Gaunt Gary.
Gaunt Gary.
I don't know how he got that name because they don't mention that in the episode, but that's his name apparently. Yeah. But he mentions he was in he was in Billy Madison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been in a bunch of stuff too.
He was in Billy Madison, and he in one of his lines in this episode. Actually, he says twice in this episode. He goes, "Would you mind moving your foot, Tommy boy?" He says Tommy boy twice.
Shit,
and he was playing pool in this episode. There was a scene of him in Billy Madison with Adam Sandler playing pool, and as we all know. Adam Sandler was friends with Chris Farley and David Spade, and they made Tommy Boy.
Exactly. Yeah.
So this was before all that shit happened.
He was also in the Seinfeld, the pilot episode, and he played like the Kramer.
Seinfeld Chronicles.
He played the Kramer character.
Larry Hankin. Yeah. Did you see the part where he like flipped the cue ball up on his back of his hand? He thought he was so smooth when he was doing that.
Yeah. I did see that part.
You remember that? Yeah. Why was it that all the crew kept like ending up back at that outside of Holodeck 2? Now they said it was because like there was somehow it was the Nexus or whatever of the whole thing, like the spatial distortion was happening all around them, but only the main crew kept ending up back at the holodeck.
Right.
The rest of the crew was wandering around.
I know,
around.
Yeah, even Neelix.
The rest of the crew was wandering off somewhere else. Like the rest of how many hundreds of people are? I mean,
it's just a few.
200 people.
200. Yeah. Still, six, like 7-8 people.
It's a good chunk of folks.
Seven, eight of the main people keep showing up at the center, but the over 100 other people are just elsewhere.
Right. The main characters.
Yeah,
they're in the mess hall. At one point, wasn't it Chakotay? It was like, or Tuvok. Somebody was like, just find the mess hall and everyone should just go to the mess hall.
Right. I'm going to play, before the next Duty or No Duty, I'm going to play a piece I call Wandering. Wandering around Voyager.
Okay.
These are my quarters.
I have been attempting to transfer myself back to sick bay.
Baxter, what are you doing here?
B'Elanna, shouldn't you be in engineering?
The holodeck again?
I'm trying to get to the cargo bay.
Where is here? This is engineering.
Can't find the cargo bay, and I can't find my security team.
And I'm trying to get to engineering. None of those are anywhere near my quarters. This isn't engineering.
I don't suppose anyone here knows the way to the bridge.
The captain is on her way to the bridge. I'm going to keep trying to get to engineering.
Hell yeah.
Is the theme just...
That's really great.
Descriptions of movement.
That was examples of them trying to find their way around.
Yeah,
and they couldn't do it.
We haven't even really dug into that so much. Just the basic conceit of this episode that there's a spatial anomaly. It's turning the ship into a constantly changing sort of maze, a la Harry Potter castle.
But it seems to be local to each. It divides itself by each doorway.
Yeah.
It's localized to each room.
Conveniently.
Except for...
And inexpensively.
Except off camera when, like, Tuvok wandered off down the hall and came back. But mostly it's like when
which was obvious that was going to happen.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Not that it's bad. It was just funny because, you know, you're like, obvious.
But
like,
later on they can compile all their... Like
that doesn't make any
tricorder
sense.
Data.
I was annoyed at that.
Right? Yeah, I know.
Because they're like it's constantly shifting.
Like, wait,
so we can make a map of it,
and then it's like, oh, this part's gonna get compressed.
Well,
in
so
68 seconds.
Yeah. So Torres said, if we can't get back on foot or the turbolift, maybe we can rig a site to site transport. But that's what the doctor kept trying to do, and he kept ending up back in Holodeck.
The doctor was different though because he wasn't transporting using the transporter. He was just trying to. Move his program to different emitters.
Okay, he's trying to run away from that girl.
Kim was saying maybe we go through the Jeffries tubes, but that's not going to be any different than wandering the halls. He always says that. He was talking about a photoplasmic trail from Chakotay. He was talking about the photoplasmic trail.
I enjoyed that term, but photoplasmic.
Totally. Yeah, plasma. But there's only one scene where like the wibbly wobbly was when it knocked Janeway out. But every other time, like when B'Elanna,
her arm went all goofy.
When it was only divided by each doorway in each room. Like when B'Elanna opened the door and that dude was like in his underwear and she was all embarrassed and he didn't give a fuck.
B'Elanna wanted to be on it.
Oh shit,
B'Elanna's on it.
Like I know it's like he was just in his underwear. What's the big deal?
Yeah, he didn't give a shit. But she was all like, and then that was she gave a that's an order. There, by the way.
Oh, a whole nother game.
We're
not even done with the duty or
nothing. Yeah, she goes, crewman, there's an emergency situation aboard ship. Just stay right where you are. That's an order. That's when he was all like in his underwear. I'd say that's acceptable because she was flustered and she just, couldn't think of anything.
In my underwear and I was like vacuuming and I had like my windows open one of my neighbors walked by and she was all like, oh no, and, like all embarrassed that she saw me in my underwear. And I thought it was weird because I'm like, it's not like.
Like, what if you were wearing a swimsuit?
Exactly. That's what I was saying. Like, I wasn't fucking naked.
It's all
like,
about context.
Was your penis flopped out of the underwear?
Absolutely not.
I just did not
have a top on.
It's the same reason people wear bathing suits at the beach, but if you did it in an office setting, it would be really embarrassing. Yeah. It's all about context.
And context?
I was cleaning my house, man. It was summertime.
I wouldn't be embarrassed.
Hey, Dan. Who's context for?
For kings.
That's right, Jesse.
Context is for kings. All right. Duty or no duty number 3.
All right.
We've got an emergency situation on board ship. I don't have time to go into details, but you're all to remain at your post until otherwise notified. Whether or not your duty shifts are over. 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 Your duty shifts are over.
What do you think, Jesse?
No duty.
Yeah, so This is a close call for me.
Jesse never says Jesse never says duty.
But I'm gonna say no duty as well. I don't think this is a
close,
duty.
But no duty.
I think I hear a little bit of a T, a little bit.
That's what she's implying.
The thing is, you guys are trying too hard.
Come on.
Your duty shifts are over. Your duty shifts are over.
That's duty. That's a duty.
It's crisp.
Duty.
It's a crisp duty.
This is one of those scenarios where I'm not gonna get mad at anybody who says it's a duty. I just don't personally.
I'm not threatened by that at all.
Yeah, I'm not threatened by it. I'm not going to get mad. I think it's a perfectly rational opinion to have. So it's one that differs from my.
You might not be wrong if that's what you.
I just think you guys are trying to. You guys are trying so hard to make it a no duty is the thing. You guys are biased. You want it to be no duty, so you're trying to find no duty when
you guys always say no duty.
You're trying to find no duty when there's obviously duty. But it's fine. I'm not mad either. I'm just saying you that's just whatever. But they're always talking about duty shifts. There's like
your duty shifts are over.
Your duty shift.
Your duty shift.
Your duty shift.
Your duty shifts are over.
Your duty shift.
Oh, did we ever give an answer for this one?
To my duty station.
I don't think we ever gave an answer for that one.
You know, you know why? That was definitely a duty.
Yeah.
That's okay. You're right. Number one, no duty. Number two, duty.
Clear. To my duty station.
Duty.
That's because Baxter was saying it.
Yeah.
Duty. Absolutely. Yes.
To my duty station.
Duty.
Duty. Okay. Fourth one.
Clearly duty.
Bellana, right. You and Harry get down to engineering. Evacuate whoever's on duty. Then initiate the warp pulse. Whoever's on duty. Move. Whoever's on duty.
Oops. He had a little thing he said at the end. Wait.
I don't know.
He said a little thing at the end. Hold on. At the end he said.
Warp pulse. Move it. Whoever's on duty.
For me, that's a duty.
It's
fairly clear. For me, it's a duty.
It sounds duty. I know he's trying to say no duty, but like I think he.
So you guys,
it sounds like a duty.
Let's go through. So
he's
for
saying
me,
duty.
For me, it wasn't it no duty, duty, no duty, duty.
Yes.
And for Jesse, it was no duty, no duty, no duty, duty.
And I was
and Dan, you were duty, 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 duty.
Yeah.
All right.
I was.
I wasn't sure. I'm glad I remember that.
Duty,
right?
Duty, duty.
Yep.
Did you have something to say before I play the duty or no duty outro?
No, I was done with this game.
All right.
Step in the room, locking in noon. Yeah, we
Chief O'Brien.
Rhyme so tight, flow so bright. That's
hologram.
Is it duty? No duty. Let the beat decide.
Let the beat decide.
This vibe, right? The rhythmic tide. Is it duty? No duty. Let the crowd speak. Got the bass, the melody. See the energy peak. Is it Dewey? Oma Dewey? That's the question we keep. In the club or street, feel the pulse of the beat.
Sparkle.
Sparkle.
Remember this part?
With that, Lorundra, Sialonatnash, yeah, and I'm up for neural pathways.
Yeah.
You know what we got to do?
You got to reverse it.
We've got to try to reverse it.
Flip it and reverse it.
Flip it and reverse it. Good job.
We've got to try to reverse it.
All right, here we go.
He said it really clearly there.
Yeah, he did.
Because
we've got to try to reverse it.
He said duty, very duty, but that was a very strong it.
We've got to try to reverse it.
Yep.
In fact, it was a very bizarre delivery.
Yeah, it was.
Play that again.
We've got to try to reverse it.
That's the crispest tea that Chakotay has ever uttered.
It sounds like he's already getting exasperated being on this show.
Oh, he had three ear scratches in this episode. One was when Janeway asked it, when Neelix was like, I'm a great tracker. I'm super good at tracking. And that was...
I was not excited about working with Neelix.
Yeah, I thought that was actually a pretty good acting moment by Robert Beltram, was like when he looked so annoyed, but very subtly, but you could tell he was super annoyed. And then later when Neelix was asking him if he's ever been jealous, Chakotay was scratching his ear again.
Chode Cote.
By the way, Neelix was talking to Chakotay like it was like Data asking about emotions. He was like, have you ever been? It's like, so being jealous is a natural emotion to have. And then when he was like, you've been jealous. It sounds like when a dad tells his kid like he's been scared before. It's like, Dad, you've been afraid. Like. It was weird. It was weird things going on.
Neelix. It was.
And then when Tuvok suggested that they continue making right turns to find their way back, and Chakotay's like, well, you're assuming that it's all the same. He got annoyed again because he was scratching his ear when he said that. There's three ear scratches. I wonder if in another episode he scratches his ears.
It's highly observant and interesting.
Yeah.
We're going to keep an eye out for that.
It was an interesting moment because Tuvok's like used to being like the guy that, sort of Janeway like defers to.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Janeway's like number two.
He's the true number one.
Yeah, and that's why he was all bitter when yeah. when
I was, but Chakotay's like, well, no.
I was thrown off a little bit about this because
the argument was at the end.
It was very late in the game.
Yeah.
And then when you go back and watch the episode, you're like, okay, there's a few parts where they've but the thing is, they're both so professional. Yeah. They're having it's a very subtle professional argument. You could argue that's a good performance on their part, and I get it. But otherwise, it seemed like this sudden the problem they have later is sort of came out of nowhere.
Well, the ending in general was weird because it seemed almost like they couldn't come up with a satisfying conclusion. It seemed like they were in the writer's room and they were going, this technobabble solution isn't working for me, so we got to think of something else.
It was aliens the whole time.
So they were like, what do you suggest we do? And they're like, I don't know. We just will have them not do anything and that'll work. But what it did is it turned it into this weird 5 minutes of them sort of contemplating fate and accepting fate or something, or accepting the situation.
With no thematic connection to anything else. Like their birthday party was not a theme. This also was just out of the blue.
So like this could have worked better if it was part of something, if it was connected to the episode. But as it, like I said, it seemed like, okay, so the solution is nothing. Okay, but we're going to try to make it something by making it all introspective at the end. Like Harry's like talking to Paris and Harry is like scared. I'm scared. And Paris is like, I'm scared. And the doctor's like, Neelix sucks, but he's resourceful. B'Elanna's like, I'm finally ready to look at things from a spiritual perspective. And Chakotay's like, cool. And even the Hollow characters are scared. So it was kind of weird, the connection there.
To compare it to something else, right? There's a similar ending in TNG's Gambit Part 2, where you'll recall that the way they can defeat the ancient Vulcan violent mind device is by being chill. It's do nothing, have no violent thoughts. And even Worf manages it in the space of a minute to figure out how to do it.
That's a little different.
No, that's what I'm saying. It is different. I'm saying that it's a similar idea where it's like do nothing, but that had a whole thematic thing about violence versus logic. You know, all this. It made sense in the story. This is just, I agree with you 100%. Yeah. They're just like, oh shit, what do we do? Okay, just stand there and do nothing and then have Tom Paris suddenly start talking about death.
And your head gets all distorted.
I feel like that was an episode of the real Ghostbusters too. It was some show I was watching where the answer was to fight this violent creature is you had to have happy thoughts or something.
I think it's not a new thing.
Like that's the probably, boogeyman or whatever.
I think
that boogeyman episode.
That episode was fucking scary.
Real Ghostbusters.
By the way, got off topic.
With a blunder, cell on that neck, and I'm up
for neural pathways.
Because as you remember,
we've got to try to reverse it.
Yes.
All right, so here it is.
Say with that blunder. But man, I can analyze her neural pathways.
That's weird. It's not quite, it's like not quite, they did a good job with that because it's not, they didn't just have him say something and reverse it. It sounded like they did the thing where.
It's like Lynchian.
Yeah, where they actually, like, he probably said something forward, they played it back and then he tried to imitate it backwards or something.
I agree with you. They did something a little extra.
But then there's some other parts that straight up are just like nonsense reverse stuff. Like at the beginning.
Say that, Lauren. But man, I can analyze her neural pathways.
Really weird.
Creepy.
How about this part?
Oh, my eyes.
And that's the beginning when she then goes,
dog. Gan.
What do you think she's saying there?
God damn. She's like, I said god damn.
Dog. Gan.
That doesn't sound like she's mad. Closed captioning says she was saying talk can't. Chakotay says dark gan.
Oh, I think the credits said talk can't.
Dark Gan is what Chakotay says.
It creeped me out.
The credits said, what do we mean?
The captions.
Captions says talk can't.
The captions,
captions said talk can't. Chakotay said dark Gan. Then there's another.
It's dogging doobie. Doggy doobie.
I didn't like that. It made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, it made me uncomfortable too.
Kate Mulgrew's fantastic.
That where it was the Chakotay said, it's dogging, it's Doging Doby to Gandon.
What?
Yeah, is Doging Doby to Gandon is what Chakotay says. But in the closed captioning, it says, it's talking to me, do nothing.
It's Doging Doby to Gandon.
Okay, well, there you go. That's just telling people what to do, but it was done
in an
emotionally disturbing way.
Yeah.
So nobody got the message.
Well, it looks like we won't have time for my 16-point twisted list, but that's okay.
Oh, you could do it super quick.
I could try.
You want to see how fast you can do it, baby?
Super quick twisted? Because although the joke, we're not going to do this, but the joke would be we could end here because I don't, the one bit of trivia I wanted to make sure we discussed, because I think it might explain some of the other stuff about this episode, is when they filmed this episode as scripted, it was 8 minutes short.
Oh,
so they had to add a whole bunch of shit, and a lot of the character scenes where they're just sort of jabbering on with each other, and some of the flirty, sexy scenes with the doctor and the age appropriate bar owner lady, who then he's creeped out and grossed out by because she's age appropriate, I guess. Which that was another '90s weirdness. Yeah. But anyway, they had to like fluff out a lot of this episode after they finished producing it because it was full fucking 8 minutes too short.
That makes some sense, I think.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Yeah. Twisted, 16-point list. These are things that are twisted.
Yeah, baby.
Number one, the gym got cold, negative 10 degrees Celsius. Number two, Janeway, Chakotay, and Paris tried to go to the bridge and ended up on deck four.
Oh, shit.
Three, Kes and Neelix were walking back to Kes's quarters and they ended up somewhere else. Kes and Neelix don't live together. Number four, well, Balana was trying to go to engineering and she ended up in their mess hall or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Five, Janeway, Chakotay, and Paris tried again to go to the bridge and ended up in engineering. Too bad Balana wasn't with them or else she'd be home by now.
Balana's on it.
Six, Balana tried to go to engineering again and ended up in a transporter room. Baxter was there and he was trying to get to the cargo bay. Number seven, the doctor keeps trying to transport back to sick bay, but he keeps transporting back to holodeck program Paris 3. That's the third Paris program. Mm-hmm. Eight, Neelix and Kes are on deck eight when where Kes's quarters are, but they see the quarters of Kyoto's, Nicoletta's, Hargrove's, and
Ayala.
And they're all different decks.
Yeah, and Hargrove and Ayala are on deck seven. Nicoletta is on four, and she thinks Kyoto is on six.
And supposedly, she's been in all their places.
Kyoto's Nicoletti, quarters, Hargrove, Ayala.
Ayala.
Nicoletti.
Nine, Balana's outside of holodeck two, and Harry's there. She's still looking for engineering. Then Kes and Neelix show up looking for Kes's quarters. Then Janeway, Chakotay, and Paris show up looking for the bridge. Somehow Harry hasn't had any issue navigating Voyager thus far.
Yeah, that's right. He's just wandering about. He's a super fucking star.
Yeah. 10 is, it turns out they keep ending up on deck 6 where holodeck program Paris 3 is running. They haven't turned it off for some reason. Bridge is deck 1, engineering deck 11. Deck 6 is halfway in between those two. So deck as the higher the deck, the lower the ship.
Right.
Is that like an old Klingon saying?
Yeah. Yep. No doubt. 11, Balana is in engineering and opens up an engineering door and it leads directly to a crewman's quarters. He's in his underwear or something. She looks really embarrassed. He doesn't seem to give a shit. 12, Baxter's still wandering around looking for cargo bay. He wound up in mess hall a couple of times. How come nobody has accidentally stumbled on where they're supposed to go? Because, like, you know, like, some people keep ending up in engineering. Balana's looking for engineering. I know that's part of the joke.
She never gets there until the end.
I know it's part of the joke, but it's just funny. It's like everyone's getting to exactly the place they're not supposed to be. They're not randomly stumbling on it ever, but whatever. 13, Tuvok is lost. He left the bridge and got lost looking for Chakotay. Luckily, he stumbled on Chakotay accidentally, though he's still lost. Chakotay says they're on deck 6. Tuvok thought he was on 3. Neelix disappears around the corner and is gone.
Yeah. Just for the rest of the episode. They're like, we've had enough of this motherfucker.
It's like, it's a long story.
Yeah. 14, Janeway and Harry are wandering around Jeffrey's tubes, then they open a door and Janeway gets caught in the distortion and she gets all fucked up.
Yep.
15.
They're the only one in a Jeffrey's tube, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. 15, Chakotay and Tuvok are trying to get back to the bridge. Tuvok suggests they keep going right. Chakotay is like, this is chaos, man. That won't work. Then they go to their separate ways to find their way back, which is often a bad idea when you split up. But in this case, whatever, because they immediately find each other again from wacky directions. Tuvok does the whole look both ways in disbelief thing at the end of the scene. He's like, what? Yeah. What?
That motherfucker never played Pac-Man.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of that shit going on in Pac-Man, for real. 16, and last point.
Don't worry. Jesse's sneezing. It's okay.
It's good. It's part of the
late
game.
Late in the show sneezing.
Balana and Paris... B'Elanna and Paris transport from engineering to the bridge, but they end up back at the holodeck program. Why is it always back at the holodeck program? Yep. Paris and Tuvok show back up there too. Neelix is still gone.
Yeah.
But they all end up back in the holodeck program at the end that they've kept on this whole time. So
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of weirdness there.
Yeah. I gotten through that in like 4 minutes.
Yeah, you did pretty well. When we don't interrupt you.
Yeah. No,
color commentate.
No, I like when you color commentate. Yeah. It's just there wasn't time for that.
It's all good. That was a good list. I didn't want that list to go unlisted.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad. But no, just for the record, color commentating is like an important part of these lists.
You just don't want us to talk over you while you're trying to talk.
Basic.
Obviously.
Yeah.
It's basic communication.
Well, all right. So to sum up, look. It's not a great episode.
44 megapascals!
I think Robert Picardo thinks this is like the worst episode of Voyager.
It was voted one of the worst so far.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. It's because there's a few interesting bits in here.
It's a neat idea.
It definitely seems like it was sort of like cobbled together in a rush.
They got 20 million gigaquads of new info.
Yeah, but we never hear about that again.
No.
It's like, what's the fucking...
They didn't get the fuck home, that's for sure.
I know, right? It's not like it was helped.
There's an interesting Reddit post where someone tries to figure out how much a gigaquad is. Maybe we can tease that for next week.
It's a whole lot of quad, baby.
That's right. Actually, a gigaquad is what security officer works out in the gym.
1.21 gigaquad.
Yeah, that's what he lifts. 1.21 gigaquad. No, it's gigaquads.
Yeah, but he's mispronouncing it. It's giga.
I didn't notice it at first. I was working out so hard.
All right. So that was our discussion, sort of. Star Trek Voyager.
Turn the implosion into an explosion.
Twisted. Did you get? Did you record Tom Paris saying Twisted? Because he's the.
Oh no, I didn't.
He actually says the title of the episode.
Oh man, how did I fuck that one up?
He's just like Twisted.
I'll have to get that for next week.
And he's like, well, everything's all twisted.
Yeah, I missed it. I'm disappointed in myself.
All right, we'll do better next week. So next week we
this second break we didn't talk a ton about this episode in particular. We just kind of started.
Well, hey,
can't all be winners. Next week.
Phenomenon.
next week we will phenomenon. Be discussing
phenomenon.
Star Trek. That much is usually obvious. Star Trek Enterprise. We're going to be doing an Enterprise episode, and a classic one at that. We're finally, Dan's algorithm spit out Shuttle Pod 1.
Yes. All right.
We're excited. We're excited for that. We love Trip. We love Malcolm. We love Shuttle Pods. We love the number one. So
where would I stay?
It's a winner.
This is going to be great. So next week, Shuttle Pod 1. Looking forward to that. In the meantime, you can follow us on social media at It's Got Star Trek.
Good luck.
We have a website, www.itsgotstartrek.com.
That's an order.
And patreon.com/itsgotstartrek if you'd like to give us money to
magnify,
cover all this nonsense, and Facebook, YouTube, all that stuff. Subscribe to us on YouTube if you can, just for fun. Just It's Got Star Trek. It helps us out. It's really nice.
Dan's going to take his top off.
Hello.
Well, we were thinking of starting
an OnlyFans
where Dan puts up cat pictures.
But... apparently, B'Elanna's really like superstitious about birthday wishes.
Don't tell us.
Weird.
She did take that very seriously.
Klingon.
All right. Anyway,
yeah, Klingon.
That's what we'll be talking about next week. Shuttle Pod 1, thank you so much, and goodbye.
Bye. You, my dearest, have seen the last of that green-eyed pus hog. Oh. Computer, end holodeck program Paris 3.
Surprise!
Surprise! Happy birthday, my sweet.
Happy birthday, kids.
Oh, imagine 2 years old today. If you ask me, you don't look a day over one.